The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Get ready for the return of Ray. The Super Showdown is looking a lot less super. And John Jones is back in the UFC because he's honest. Yeah, that's a real thing that happened this week. Welcome to Sunday night's main event, the crown jewel of wrestling radio. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and we've got a packed 2 hours for you. First up, fresh off main eventing this week's episode of the Mae Young Classic versus Mia Yim, you may know her as two-time Impact Knockouts champion Sienna. Well, in the NYC, she was known as Allison Kay, and she'll be my special guest on the show tonight. Plus, the triple threat with Wrestling Observer Live's Mike Sempervivi and 411 Mania's Larry Zonka. Dave Meltzer will give us the inside of the Observer, and Turnbuckle Trivia, they're all on the way tonight. No phone calls tonight, but we will be taking your feedback on Twitter at SNME Radio, or find the Facebook group and interact there at SNME Radio. And yes, we still use a group. But first things first, let's get you caught up and up to date on all that happened this week in the world of wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
PW Insider's Mike Johnson reported Wednesday that Rey Mysterio has officially signed with WWE and is preparing for his return. Johnson said the deal was for 2 years, with Mysterio getting the option to give notice after 18 months. Now, rumors are circulating that Rey will make his in-ring return at the Crown Jewel show in Saudi Arabia. And speaking of that show, as we heard on Raw, it'll be happening on November 2nd and be broadcast on the WWE Network. The card will consist of a three-way match for the Universal title between Roman, Brock, and Braun, plus a World Cup tournament, which I'm assuming is going to mean as much as the green belt that Braun won for winning the greatest Royal Rumble. And in regards to the Shawn Michaels angle, it looks as though it's going to be a tag team of HBK and Triple H versus Undertaker and Kane, and it's all going to get set up at the Super Showdown show in Australia. And yes, I'll be doing a patron-exclusive podcast for both of those events and be getting up super early for that Super Showdown show. Keeping with that card, in support of Glenn Jacobs, WWE is going to be donating $100,000 to the Knoxville Public Safety Foundation, a charity that supports first responders after they suffer injuries, illness, death, or other life-changing events. This is going to be for appreciation for Glenn's appearances for this fall with the company. Now, this, of course, is really a way to offset the possible backlash that Glenn Jacobs may get for leaving his mayoral duties to perform at the controversial Saudi Arabian show. However, he's a mayor in a very Republican state, and I'm really not sure how much backlash there's going to be and he should be worrying about to begin with. Both Scott Dawson and Matt Hardy's homes were hit hard during Hurricane Florence last week. Both of the guys tweeted out their thanks for the support of the WWE fan base and said they remained safe during the natural storm. Kairi Sane will defend her NXT Championship versus Shayna Baszler at the WWE Evolution pay-per-view. Last week, I had a lot of questions about how WWE would be taping 205 Live due to its move to Wednesday nights. Well, they moved the tapings to before SmackDown, and surprise, surprise, the crowd was more responsive. There's still no word on what's going to happen after the Mixed Match Challenge comes to an end, whenever that may be, considering it is now a round-robin tournament. A couple injury notes coming out of the Mixed Match Challenge. One kayfabe, one real. Alexa Bliss was replaced by Ember Moon in the Mixed Match Challenge. The reason given was Bliss suffered an injury at the hands of Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell. So unless she's actually injured, she's the only one that's actually selling her injury in storyline. Now on to the real world. Mickie James will be taking Sasha Banks' place beside Bobby Lashley in the Mixed Match Challenge. WWE.com posted up a video about this, but didn't give details on what the Banks injury actually is. Down to NXT we go. Matt Riddle made his NXT in-ring debut on Friday night at the house show in Sanford, Florida versus Fabian Archer. So it's only a matter of time till we see him on NXT TV versus wrestling's walking fashion crime, Cassius Ohno. WWE will be holding a Starrcade event during Thanksgiving weekend. The U.S. Bank Arena in Cincinnati, Ohio will be hosting it on Saturday, November the 24th. It's going to be a dual brand show, but there's no word on whether it's going to be televised or on the network. It will, however, have an appearance by Ric Flair. The man formerly known as Mahabali Shira is reportedly no longer under WWE contract. PW Insider reported that Amanpreet Singh Randhawa has been released from the WWE. There's no further details regarding when or why the release happened, but they probably just realized he's not very good. Speaking of releases, Andrew Everett announced on Twitter that he was granted his release from Impact Wrestling. And in signings news, Madison Reed announced on the Taz show this week that she signed a one-year deal with NXT. It was announced this past week on Impact that a recent guest of this show, Abyss, will be this year's inductee into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. Abyss, real name Christopher Park, no S, will be inducted into their Hall of Fame during Bound for Glory weekend. The ceremony will be on October 13th at McHale's Pub in Midtown Manhattan. Yeah, you heard that right. WWE runs an arena. Impact runs a pub. While appearing for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Cody announced that he'll be defending the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Willie Mack at ROH's television tapings in Las Vegas, Nevada on September the 29th. All right, now let us flip over to the world of mixed martial arts, because there was a lot that happened this week, and some does have ramifications to wrestling as well, with the Brock Lesnar situation. So let's get you briefly updated here. The always newsworthy Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov had a press conference for UFC 229 on Thursday afternoon. Conor talked a lot, promoted his whiskey, and Khabib said pretty much nothing. The most notable Conor note this week actually comes from ESPN's Darren Rovell, who reported that McGregor has re-upped with a new six-fight UFC contract. Financial terms were not disclosed. However, Dana White said the deal could make McGregor the most money in the sport, especially given his pay-per-view appeal. Backing up one day, it looks like John Jones is off the hook again. On Wednesday, Jones was given a 15-month suspension from his July 2017 failed USADA drug test prior to UFC 214, retroactive to the failed test of July 28, 2017. So that would clear him to return to action as early as October the 28th of this year. You remember, this is Jones' second official offense. This is the one he was supposed to get 4 years for. Instead, he gets 15 months. Now, coincidentally, UFC is at MSG on Saturday, November the 3rd, but for what it's worth, Dana White says that Jones won't be on that card. That card, of course, that is still waiting for a main event. Now, the question is, who does Jones fight? Is it Brock Lesnar? Because it seems everything Jones does just has the intention of screwing over Daniel Cormier. And, you know, that'll do it. UFC also announced that the vacant women's flyweight title will be decided at UFC 231 in Toronto on December the 8th. The fight will be between former strawweight champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk and former women's bantamweight title challenger Valentina Shevchenko. The title is vacant as former champion Nico Montano was stripped of the title due to injuries and illness. And finally, in a sad note to end off the news today, former UFC and K1 fighter Norifumi Kid Yamamoto, who was at one time considered one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, passed away on Tuesday in Japan. He was 41 years old, only 41, and it was only on August the 26th that Yamamoto had announced that he was battling cancer, and it took him that fast. We are going to take a break. We are going to come back, and I'll give you my thoughts on why I think this Australia show is not so super, despite being called the Super Showdown. Later in the show, the Triple Threat, Dave Meltzer, and Allison Kay will be my guest as well, so stick with us. Lots more. It is Sunday night's main event, and then we're just getting started right here on TSN Radio. I like that you're broken, broken. Hey, podcasters, Jason Agnew here. Just a quick break in the action to say thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. And if you like what you hear and want more, you can get the whole two-hour weekly show commercial-free if you become a patron at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Friday nights is when all hell breaks loose as Major League Wrestling Fusion takes over BN Sports. Watch as some of the biggest stars in the sport, like MVP, Loki, Filthy Tom Lawler, Jimmy Havoc, Barrington Hughes, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and many more battle it out for championship gold to truly prove who is the best of the best. Major League Wrestling Fusion. BN Sports.
Contact your local cable provider and get BN Sports today.
Shawn Michaels is not going to go all the way to Australia to sit in the audience and watch this fight. He's going to be standing in Triple H's corner. And I'm okay with that. Because standing in my corner will be my brother, Kane.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. That is a clip promoting WWE Super Showdown. Now, that's the card that is happening in Australia. And I mean, I'm sure anyone who listens to this show realizes when these cards are happening. However, there's a lot WWE is promoting. Now, we're going to do a podcast for the Super Showdown show. I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning and then actually have a patron by the name of Chris. He has subscribed to the top tier level of patron, and he is going to be a co-host of the show from Australia. And when I was doing a Skype test with Chris, he brought up a lot of points about this show where it now looks like a complete setup show. Initially, I found that it seemed to have a lot of hype around it. You have Ronda Rousey returning to Australia, which was a big milestone for her in her UFC career. And then along with that, The Undertaker is coming back, and they seem to be making a real special show for Australia. That is, until the Saudi money came in. Bear with me here. Here's what I mean by this, because it really just hit me this week. If you look down the card, everything doesn't have an end point on this show. There's no culminations that are happening, except one. And I'll get there. And it's coming from a very weird place. First of all, Triple H with HBK versus The Undertaker with Kane. This match now, they're saying it's the very last time these two are going to wrestle. Well, we already know that we're going to see them in the ring again, and it's going to be a crown jewel, and it's going to be a tag match with these four guys. So essentially, this is reverse booking, because normally you book a tag match in order to get to a singles match. Granted, that's normally done with the title, but this match means nothing. Everyone is just going to be waiting in this match for the interference of probably when Shawn Michaels smacks The Undertaker with some sweet chin music. And maybe Triple H actually gets the win here over The Undertaker, and then The Undertaker and Kane get the big win in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so let's keep moving on this card. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. It's a number one contenders match. It automatically doesn't have an end to it, because it's these two guys vying for what's going to happen next. The Shield versus Braun, Dolph, and Drew. Once again, a tag match that actually holds up all of the titles. Traditionally, this is the match they do on TV to set up a pay-per-view. But this is the match that they're doing at Super Showdown to set up, well, kind of doesn't even set up anything, because it's already set up for Crown Jewel. And we know what's going to be happening there. And do I feel silly saying Crown Jewel over and over and over again? You bet I do. The Bellas are going to, and Ronda Rousey, are going to face the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad doesn't even factor into this match. They're simply there to forward along the fact that Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, so mainly Nikki Bella, is going to be facing Ronda Rousey at Evolution. So at least we don't have a setup match for Crown Jewel here. We have a setup match for Evolution here. Styles versus Joe. All right, there's one. Now, odds are, this is just going to roll along with their feud and it's going to keep going. But technically, if WWE wanted to sort something out and give us some finality of some feud, this could end in a title change. Will it? I don't think there's a chance in hell. Why? Well, I'm dead set on the fact that AJ Styles is going to break CM Punk's record. Okay, and while we're on this topic, let me throw in something that happened on Twitter last week. Mouth and I were talking about AJ Styles' reign, and I was saying that AJ was only 10 days away from Punk's reign. I was talking about combined reigns, but I had a bunch of people that messaged in saying a correction regarding last night's show. AJ Styles isn't about to surpass CM Punk's reign just yet. He still needs to hold the title for at least 121 days. He is, however, set to surpass Punk's combined reigns with his own combined reigns. And that was from at Manic Prime on Twitter. Thank you for that. A whole bunch of you did correct me, so thank you very much. Yeah, so he's passing the combined reigns. He needs it for 121 days. So this even goes along more with my theory of the fact that there will not be a title switch that will be happening here. So that feud continues. New Day versus The Bar. This is already a repeat. Asuka and Naomi versus The Iconics. Well, this is not a major match, but at least this should be a little bit of interest, considering the Iconics are both from Australia. So this, I would assume, is going to be where you have Peyton and Billy come out and cut the same type of promo that William Regal always used to have to cut when they were in England and turn themselves heel. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Well, they just had this title change. So, I mean, I guess they could change the titles again and do the flippity-flop, but I don't see that happening either. So in essence, let me play this out for you. My main event for Super Showdown and the match that I think matters most on this card is the Cruiserweight title match. It's Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy hails from Melbourne, Australia. For the hometown fans, this is probably the biggest match on the card with a title implication to it. I mean, I'm sure people want to see the pomp and circumstance of The Undertaker and see Ronda Rousey out there. But this is the real potential for a title change is Buddy Murphy and a giant pop in his hometown, in his home country. But Australia, and to all my Australian fans, sorry, you're getting a card that ultimately doesn't matter. It's just on its way to what's going to happen next. Now, I will be covering this card, and for the first time, I'll be doing the podcast with a listener, a patron of the show, Chris from Australia. He'll be there live at the event, and then we will be doing a show right after that. I'll be getting up at 5 in the morning to watch this, but more details on that next week. So that was just a little recap of Super Showdown. When I come back, the Triple Threat is going to be next on the show. I'm mixing and matching things tonight, and we're going to go through what happened this week on WWE TV with Mike Sempervivi and Larry Zonka. So stick with us. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Do you come from a land down under? Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Superkick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's main event. The two gentlemen joining me this week, a regular contributor here on the program from 411 Mania, Larry Zonka. How you doing, Larry?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you for being back here. And I think we've done this triple threat before. He is one of the, or is the co-host of Wrestling Observer Live every day with Brian Alvarez. Mike Sempervivi, welcome back.
You said one of the co-hosts. Do you know something I don't know?
Yeah, no, everything's fine, Mike. From what I know, everything is just fine. You're solid.
Okay, good. Although you probably know lots of things that I don't know, but that's not too difficult, which is why Brian keeps me around.
I don't know about that, my friend. Here's one thing I do think that I know. I've just spent a bunch of time on the show tonight going through this Australia show that WWE is putting on. It's called Super Showdown. The more WWE seems to promote this, the less I think it is actually super. I found after what we've seen this week put on this card, it's seems to be nothing more than a setup show. And because a lot of these matches are just bridging over to what's going to happen, whether it be in Saudi Arabia or Evolution. If I'm a fan in Australia and going to this thing live, at this point, I'm feeling ripped off. Have you guys felt this at all, looking at what seemed to be a big event and is not anymore? Larry, we can start with you.
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings on it because I think that there is the potential for some good stuff on the card, but I started working on a preview for it already, and as I was going along, it was like, Naomi and Asuka versus the Iconics, that's nothing. The Rousey and Bella's match with the Riot Squad, I think we're obviously looking to set up Rousey and Nikki there. Charlotte and Becky's probably going to continue. New Day and The Bar will probably continue in some way. Cruiserweights are actually on a show, so that's nice for them.
Well, I think, honestly, Larry, it's funny you bring that up, because I just pointed out the fact, I think that is perhaps the biggest match on the card. And I say this because it's Buddy Murphy. He's from Australia. They don't really have another opportunity on this card to make a significant title change. I would think that you pull the trigger here on Buddy Murphy defeating Cedric Alexander and winning the Cruiserweight title. Mike, what do you think?
Absolutely. And I think this card is, you know, it depends on how much skin you have in the game. If you're in Australia and WWE doesn't come around too often and they're running this massive building and they're bringing all of these stars, you're still going to be jacked up to go, even if you're looking past this and looking at Crown Jewel or Evolution or Survivor Series or anything else coming up and going, well, this is a setup show. Well, in theory, all of these shows are set up shows for something else that comes in the future. I mean, look at most of the pay-per-views / special events now. We pray that the matches are good, but we're probably going to have a wacky ending at the end, you know, when the bell rings, because we need to move it on to the next thing anyway. So if you're going to it or you have a favorite in the match like Buddy Murphy, then, you know, I don't think Crown Jewel or this being a setup show for other things, I don't think it's all that big of a deal. I think if you're the average WWE fan who is probably overloaded with stuff as it is and maybe fast forwards through Raw and maybe doesn't watch SmackDown all the time and never watches 205 Live, you know, this show is probably just another one in the mix, and you're probably more cynical about it as you go along. But again, that's just my thoughts on that. But when it comes to Buddy Murphy, absolutely I would go ahead and pull the trigger on it. And that's got nothing to do with Cedric or anything like that, but it gives him a reason to chase it if you're going to do something different with 205 Live, and you get the big pop, what at least one would assume is a big pop for him, you know, a big title change and him winning the title in his home country.
It's funny, though, because, I mean, Mike, Larry, we all know WWE does have a tradition of, in the hometown, to get heat. The hometown person loses, and that would mean Buddy Murphy losing on this card, which I personally think would be a mistake, but I guess...
I do too, because not only that, they've actually really set this up perfectly, because I don't know how many people actually watch 205 Live, but I do. It's a great show. They have set up the whole story of Cedric Alexander is the babyface champion that takes on anybody, and he's always retaining, but each match... each title defense, he's getting taken a little deeper. It's a little bit harder of a fight. And Buddy Murphy has been basically what he says. He is the juggernaut. He has been mauling people, putting in great performances. And honestly, the dude is the comeback performer of 2018. He went from not even getting on NXT TV, working the coconut loop in Florida all the time.
And then he decides he's going to try to drop weight and come to 205 Live, and all of a sudden, he's like one of the studs of the brand. The guy is just awesome and constantly delivers, and they should change up the title because you could have Cedric Chase, plus you can revisit the feud with Mustafa Ali and Murphy.
Larry, you
That's
mentioned
right,
that you mentioned you very much enjoy this show, and it's a show that doesn't really get enough attention as far as WWE fans watching it. A lot of people weren't staying after SmackDown. Now, of course, we saw a more active crowd this week with the change. In your opinion, how do you fix 205 Live? Like, what do you do with this product in order to give it more traction to the average WWE fan?
You know, I wish I had a really simple answer. They have done a great job of reinventing the brand after the whole Enzo fiasco, and then they finally got Triple H to take over the show. It became a little more wrestling-oriented. There's still characters, there's still stories, but they're not hitting you over the head with, like, Alicia Fox love triangles and stuff like that. It's centered around the belt. They're always building up a contender. They're always building up an undercard-style feud, basically. For a while, they had a basic formula of opening match that was storyline from the week before, squash match, which was somebody that lost in the previous 2 weeks, getting momentum back, and then a great main event. And they were running that, and it's going to – they're basically losing the squash match now because the show's shorter. But it's still a damn good show. I just – that atmosphere is so stifling at the SmackDown tapings because – these guys, for better or for worse, don't get on Raw. Most of them don't work live events. So your average WWE fan that just watches Raw and SmackDown and takes an occasional live event in, they don't know who the hell most of these guys are.
Well, one of the things that they've done, Larry, and we've seen it with both Drake Maverick and now with Leo Rush as of Monday, which I thought was a tremendous pairing with Bobby Lashley initially, and I liked it even more on Monday. This is getting these guys on television. I don't quite like the Drake thing, but at least they're being seen on Raw in another capacity. And Mike, I'll throw this at you. I mean, looking at managers back in the WWE, I like the idea. I thought Leo Rush was great. And I think what could be done here with Lashley and Rush, initially a manager, but this has the potential to do what I think they wanted to do with Enzo and Cass, of the small guy with the big bully beside him. It's almost like Chester the Terrier and Spike the Bulldog from Looney Tunes with these two. I like Leo Rush in this role. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I like it as well, too. It's a great playoff of Bobby Lashley. He brings, you know, they're a perfect complement. You know, Bobby Lashley, you know, dexterity and flying moves is not Bobby Lashley, but it is Leo Rush. You know, personality, be not Bobby Lashley in a lot of ways, but it is Leo Rush. And, again, the balance is perfect where I'm watching them on Monday and I'm thinking, this is going to be a great heel unit.
Yes.
It's going to be, like, I would love to see, everybody's talking about, like, already predicting Bobby Roode and Chad Gable going dirty on each other, you know, either way, however you want to call it. But it's like, I would much rather see them as baby faces knocking up against a heel Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush. And it's a great way, I think, to integrate him. I think it's a far better way than they did with Drake Maverick, which is, it's just very jarring that he's going to be the baby face. Law and order, everything is proper GM on 205 Live, and then all of a sudden he's managing the AOP as killers on Raw. That's a little bit too much, but I guess you could also work your way out of that and make Drake Maverick a permanent fixture on Raw, which I wish he would be. I'd like to see him have a little stable. I'd like to see him add his ability to speak, his presence, his uniqueness out there and his uniqueness, the way he looks and the way he carries himself, all that stuff. I think it's a perfect compliment. And to have a heel stable, I mean, I've been a proponent of managers because I grew up in an era where there were lots of great managers and I think it works, but we'll have to see going forward. I think when it comes to 205 Live, I mean, this is nice and bringing Drew Gulak up and having a group around him, I don't think that would be the worst idea in the world. We've seen him out there during the beatdowns on Raw. He's been out there kind of randomly, you know, as one of the guys on the roster. So if that happens, great. For the rest of the guys, though, I mean, it's just integrating them on Raw with stories, without purple ropes, without any of the other nonsense. If they come out there, they're guys who are wrestling in a story, and they have personalities, and there you go. WWE lost it when they lost the sport aspect. when it's all sports entertainment, you lose the ability to just have, like, to be able to promote Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Alexander in a great match, or Mustafa Ali or Cedric Alexander in a great match. You lose that. And they tried with Alicia Fox and Enzo Amore, and they wanted to make it more sports entertainment. Now, just build these people up as, like, look at Becky Lynch. She beat everybody with an arm bar. All of a sudden, she was the most popular woman on SmackDown. Now, forget about what they did from that. But it was just a very simple story. And granted, these guys are working from way underneath as far as popularity from what Becky Lynch was. But if you just take your time and build them up and give them some credibility, amazing what will happen in people's minds. They start getting credible.
Yeah, and the one thing that stuck out for me right there, what you said, is Drew Gulak as a possible manager. I mean, those PowerPoint presentations and those promos that he cut, I always thought were tremendous. And a bigger audience seeing that, I think, would do wonders for him. Now, speaking of pairings, and maybe pairings that have been split up for better, or in this case, for worse, this week on SmackDown, we finally saw the trigger pulled on Rusev and Aiden English breaking up. These guys, although I didn't like the original pairing, they worked together. They worked together as three of them with Lana. Is there any possible way, Larry, that this goes well for Aiden English?
I wish I could say yes for sure, but I just don't see it. WWE doesn't exactly do low-card tag splits well like this. It seems like every time they get something rolling a little bit, we have to split the tag team. And this was a case of Aiden English was a dude with nothing to do, but he has talent. He's in shape. He can do the singing gimmick. He's not a bad wrestler. But he had nothing. They had nothing for him to do. And then Rusev, you know, Rusev, really talented dude. I wish they would do more with him. And then they kind of luck into this pairing, and it just works. Because Rusev is great. The fans got into the Rusev Day gimmick. You had English doing the big introduction. It just clicked together. And as you said, even with Lana, when they brought her in, everything just worked. It was nice. It was a nice little group. And I don't understand why when we get nice little things, why we want to break them up so soon.
You're not allowed to have nice things if you're a WWE fan, is pretty much what they're telling us.
I really wish I would say that I have high hopes for him, and it's not him I don't trust. I think he will work hard. I think he'll continue to deliver when given the chance. I just don't see them putting time into booking Aiden English well when they haven't put time into booking Rusev well, or Andrade Almas well, or a number of other guys well.
Oh, well, we'll just segue right on to Andrade Almas here. Watching this week, I mean, the match of Andrade versus AJ was done back on July the 17th. And the thought process was Andrade's new. He takes AJ to the limit. AJ still gets the win, but he went toe-to-toe with the champ. This week, they did the same thing again. It's two losses to AJ now. I saw no point in this happening on Tuesday night, Mike.
Yeah. You know, that's the first time around I was hoping the same thing, and I said the same thing. That was a good way to maybe push him to the limit, and there were other people that said, nah, they didn't like that at all. And I don't know if they were looking into the future or what it was, but yeah, you have that terrible feud with Rusev, or I'm sorry, I guess you had the feud with Sin Cara first that didn't really make any sense, and then you had the feud with Rusev and that didn't really make any sense, and then you move on to he loses this match with AJ. I don't get it. I really don't get it. They don't get it. They're not sure what to do with him, I guess. I don't know how that is possible when you have a unit like that, that looks like that, that can wrestle like that, that's got personality like that from both of them. I'm baffled. I'm baffled that they can't get something better working. I thought a team with he and Rusev for a while was going to be it, but they were worried about the Aiden English thing. And, you know, Aiden English, I'm sorry, you can pitch him onto the bin right now. And I hate to say that because he's for everything that Larry just said, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. And that's, you know, a lot that's got to do with it. I'm disappointed for him, but like when you have guys like Almas there, when you have guys like Rusev there, when you have a lot of other guys there that they don't seemingly know what to do with, I don't have any faith that they're going to be able to do anything with Aiden English, and it's frustrating. I you know, Rey Mysterio's coming back, and God bless. You know, he's a proven commodity that Vince knows that he can bank on. But I look at a clientele and a fan base that just, you don't really have to put that much effort in, but they don't know how to market to their first-generation Hispanic fan base and Latino fan base in this country, much less to the people that are south of the border. And you have a guy with Almas right there that you have to do minimal effort with. You just have to put him in a feud where it's not completely ridiculous. And I bet you you'll probably get more out of it than you'd think. So I am continuously baffled by this. The match against AJ didn't do him any favors. You know, with the exception of going, man, that guy can go. But that doesn't mean anything if they're not going to do anything with him.
Well, we definitely knew that already from his tremendous NXT run and, of course, work in Mexico. Again, Mike, though, one name that you brought out there, which is very interesting, especially in the same breath as Andrade Cien Almas, is Rey Mysterio. Because if you do look for that Hispanic audience, those two guys in a feud, Larry, I think that feud just tears it up and is tremendous for both performers if done right.
And there's kind of like the caveat, if done right.
Yes, I think I say that with everything in regards to WWE now.
And that's the sad thing because, I mean, let's face facts. It's 2018, and they have pretty much the most loaded roster between main roster and NXT in the history of the freaking universe.
Yeah.
And then backstage, how many Hall of Fame level guys, how many great workers, how many smart ex-bookers and storytellers do you have working? Dean Malenko, Arn Anderson, Michael Hayes, stuff like that. You have all this talent. And you sit there and I guess because Road Dogg is buddies with Triple H and nobody wants to say anything or whatever, but like, can't Arn Anderson or someone sit there or Michael Hayes and they're like, okay, so Almas, he's going to go 18 with AJ or 15 minutes with AJ tonight. They're in a great match, and Almas is losing again. You don't think Michael PSAs can't sit there and go, you know, guys, we just kind of did this like a month and a half ago. Can we maybe not have Andy lose again and kill anything he has? He's like, I know he's coming off the big win over R-Truth.
That's right.
But come on. I mean, seriously, someone backstage can't sit there and go, we just did this. He lost. You are taking a pairing that came together. They're charismatic together. They're good looking together. Almas is awesome in the ring. Vega is a tremendous mouthpiece and manager. And you've done nothing. And like Mike said, it's like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
I just don't.
Well, what's more amazing is over the years, too, it's like Steve Kern, Dr. Tom Pritchard, Les Thatcher, Jim Cornette, Jim Ross, who's working there now? Arn Anderson, Adam Pearce. You start going through the names, and it's like, you know, all of these people who we praise their brains when we would talk to them backstage or on the indie scene or in podcasts, and we talk to them on the way up, and we hear their philosophies and what influenced them. You know, members of the Armstrong family and all this stuff. And it's like, when they get to the next level or they get to a certain spot and it's just, I don't know. I'm not allowed to bring Triple H because I don't know, because everything still always goes back to pointing towards the old man.
Yeah. That's basically it. I think we all know that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So it's like, you know, when Mysterio comes, because think about this, if you're going to do Mysterio and Grady Cien Almas, who, in theory, are you going to keep around for longer? Who's going to be there for you for a lot more years? It's Cien Almas. What are the odds right now, if you had a gun held to your head, over who would win a feud with Rey Mysterio and Roddy Cien Almas if they even decided to bother to do one? Who do you think WWE land comes out the victor in that?
Yeah, that's really, it's a great point, and it's really unfortunate that you're right. It would be the marketing of that mask, which will be back. And you're right, he'd probably be the one going over, but they should be transferring that star power to Andrade for that audience that they so desperately desire.
Well, the best part is I can almost guarantee, if I'm like looking at WWE booking, Ray comes in, loses his first night to Almas, they feud for a year and a half, and then Ray ends up winning the feud. Because that would be so WWE. It's like, hey, everybody, Ray's back. Who's that jumping up? Oh, he's pinned. I'm sorry.
Well,
and know the best part is
you work
right
all
before
in.
They have that last match, and Andrade Cien Almas, they'll let him shave his head, or they'll let him cut his hair, and then they won't even do a mask versus hair match, because, again, this is what they do.
Oh, boy, guys. All right. Well, we just got on the negativity train and really rode that train for this particular chat. But it seems to be the type of week that it is. And, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you both for hanging out and chatting, and hope to have you back real soon on the Triple Threat, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And you know what the best part is? Hey, tomorrow's a new day. You never know what could happen.
Sadly, I think this conversation dictates that we might know what's going to happen. But hope, let's stay positive. As we go into break here. By the way, of course, you can follow Mike Sempervive at Sempervive and hear him every day at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sports Byline Radio, hosting Wrestling Observer Live. And, of course, Larry Zonka, one of my favorite authors for Wrestling Reports. His TV reviews are excellent. Find him at 411mania.com. His reports are tremendous. We are taking a break. Coming on back, whole lot more Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Hey, hey, hey.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
Gun shattering ricochet. Oh! X-Plex on the apron.
Hardest part of the ring.
This could be it.
John on the cusp of becoming a dual champion. Reversal by Ricochet. Reverse by Grana by Ricochet.
It's over.
Taking the United Kingdom. Oh! Are you kidding me?
One dream, one soul. One prize, one gold, one golden glance of what should be.
Welcome back, Sunday night's main event right here, TSN Radio. And there's a clip of the best television match on WWE TV this week, Ricochet versus Pete Dunne. You know, often on this show, I think I get a little distracted and I don't take enough time to talk about NXT and all the great stuff that is happening on that show. The show is just paced so well. They get so much done in an hour. It's incredible. And the nice thing, I mean, there's many nice things, but you don't see every character every week. And in that respect, you know, in that particular program, less is more. And it's so refreshing. But there's so much good going on in NXT. I mean, I don't mean to graze over that main event, which was great. I mean, Ricochet versus Pete Dunne, seeing those two guys in the ring is a treat when they're facing off against one another. And it made sense to have the schmoz ending there simply because I don't think you want either one of those titles being traded onto the other guy. You don't need a dual champion there. But there's a lot of other great things that are going on in NXT. Still, the Who Attacked Aleister Black storyline continues on. And this week, there's slight implications that it could have been Candice LeRae. Now, I don't know. I think that they were leading us there and hoping that people are buying into that when you get the he or she type of thing that was said in the broadcast implicating Candice. I don't even know if they fully know who. I mean, actually, probably when it comes down to NXT and how well things are booked out, they may very well know where they're going with the Aleister Black storyline, unlike a lot of what happens in WWE. It's still an interesting storyline to watch and see these different accusations and suspects pop up every week. So that's going on, along with the great main event, along with the fact that I'm watching Bianca Belair run right up the charts, in my opinion, to be a future star. I mean, she is, I think, mark my words here, when Kairi Sane loses the title, Bianca Belair is the one that is holding it up. I think that she is the next champion of NXT. I think she's tremendous. In the ring, very good. And promos, so natural. Blow my mind. The Forgotten Sons appear. They're a tag team in NXT. And I really like the way that you have tag teams appear and then you shoot vignettes around tag teams. It's so old school, but it just works so well. And for a few guys that I really wasn't interested in, The Forgotten Sons looks like a nice take on the characters that they're playing. I think they're paired very well, and I'm curious to see what they do with these guys. And speaking of tag teams, I mean, we complain that you guys as well, when you feedback, the fact that Raw and SmackDown, the tag team divisions, because there's so much TV, they become so repetitive. I mean, look, earlier in the show, I talked about the fact that Super Showdown, it's going to be the New Day versus the Bar. I think we've seen that on Raw, a feud with them once, and on SmackDown. Again, and now we're getting it again on SmackDown. It's like the third time over we've seen that feud. NXT, you only have an hour a week. And right now, just looking at the teams right now, and I am just grazing over this. You have the Forgotten Sons, as I mentioned, the War Raiders, of course, Heavy Machinery, Birch and Lorcan are back from injury now, the Street Profits, who I very much enjoy, the Mighty, and of course, at the top of the charts, holding the titles, Undisputed. What a great tag division. That tag division is superior to Raw or SmackDown. So that's also happening. So that's fun to watch. I think right now the only thing that I didn't like on NXT in the past maybe month is the fact that Tommaso Ciampa now has theme music. And I don't like it. I really love that he was able to pull off no theme music and do it so well. So I don't think he needed it. Unless WWE was worried, as Johnny Gargano continues to become more of a psychopath, that the fans would start turning Ciampa and make him a babyface. Therefore, the music is there to drown out the cheers. Perhaps. I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, NXT, still the best WWE TV. Gonna take a break, come on back second hour. Of course, we start with Meltzer. Allison K still to come as well. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Everybody play the game. It's time for you to become a patron of SundayNightsMainEvent.com. If you want to hear the Dave Meltzer segment, Turnbuckle Trivia, and the Triple Threat, all of those are commercial free and they are available at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.